Good evening, I am Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this sixth Sunday of Easter, year C. Our readings today, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verses 9 to 15, Psalm 67, the Revelation to John, chapter 21, verse 10, and from verse 22 to chapter 22, verse 5. And the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 23 to 29. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. Lord, we have come because You have called us. We have come in the name of Jesus. We have come to declare the Father's love. We have come because You are worthy. We have come because You are here. Lord, empower us with Your Holy Spirit to truly acknowledge Your presence and to worship You alone. Amen. Lord, we know You by many names. We call You Creator, Sustainer, Savior, Friend, Master, King, and Sovereign Lord. Most of all, we know You are love. We have come to praise You for that love that holds everything and holds us. For that love accepts us as we are and enables us to become what You meant us to be. For that love that comes from above and empowers us to begin again. We pray that we will be so filled with Your Spirit that we may receive Your word of love. For Christ's sake, Amen. And we have the hymn, Christ Be Our Light. We pray the collect for the sixth Sunday of Easter, followed by the Easter anthem and our parish prayer. Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. So let us celebrate the feast, not with the unleavened of corruption and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Christ, once raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. In dying, he died to sin once for all. In living, he lives to God. See yourselves, therefore, as dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who sleep. For as by man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness. All to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Visions, a Response from God. Visions, a Response from God. A vision could mean different things to different people, depending on their circumstance or perspective. For some, a vision could be the ability to see. To others, it could mean the formation of a mental image of something that is not perceived as real and is not present to the senses. To still others, it could be a religious or mystical experience of a supernatural appearance. To many Christians, a vision is the means by which God communicates with God's people. In one way, the vision enables the people of God to see what God desires of them, and they have the opportunity to obey. The prophet Joel affirms that as God promises to be in the midst of God's people, God says, "And my people shall never again be put to shame." Joel chapter 2, verse 27b. Then God says, "Then afterward I will pour my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Joel chapter 2, verse 28. God communicated to God's people by way of visions. In our readings today from the Acts of the Apostles and the Revelation to John, we have examples of the importance of visions to the people of God. In the Acts of the Apostles, Paul has accepted the call to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He has completed his first missionary journey with Barnabas and preached the gospel with power and effect in Cyprus and Galatia, establishing small communities of disciples for Christ. Paul has now teamed up with Silas and has revisited some of their previous cities, but they are prohibited from going to others. Eventually, they make their way to Troas, and there Paul receives a vision. We can believe that in his state of uncertainty of where he should go next, Paul prayed for guidance and direction, and God responded. Luke records, during the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God called us to proclaim the good news to them. Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10. Paul interpreted the vision as an indication from God that they should take the gospel to Macedonia. In obedience, they sailed for Macedonia, a province in Asia Minor, and eventually arrived in the Roman colony of Philippi. On the first Sabbath after his arrival, Paul does not go to the Jewish synagogue, as is his custom. He makes his way out of the city and down to the river, where he encounters a group of women with whom he shares the good news of Jesus Christ. One of the women, called Lydia, a wealthy merchant, receives the word, and her whole family is baptized. She invites Paul and his companions to be her guests while they are in Philippi. Obedience to the heavenly vision not only provides an opportunity for Paul to convert many to Christ, but also provides accommodation and more opportunities to preach the gospel to the Gentiles in that city. In our second reading from the Revelation to John, John, who is in exile on the island of Patmos, is given a vision to show his servants what must soon take place. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. John introduces his vision with a plea. "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and keep what is written in it, for the time is near." Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. In John's vision, Babylon, which represents the great cities of the world, is outwardly magnificent, but it is overcome by corruption, lies, deception, extravagance, impurity, injustice, and idolatry, all that goes against God's purpose for humankind. And so, in John's vision, Babylon is destroyed. In our reading today, John is given a vision of the holy city of God, the New Jerusalem. John recalls, "And in spirit, the angel carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." Revelation 21, verse 10. John describes some of the features of the New Jerusalem, the city of God. He says, "I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. But nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation chapter 21, verses 22, 23, 25, and 27. A city with no temple. The temple was the place where God promised to dwell among God's people. In the vision, the people are dwelling in the presence of God. Therefore, there is no need for a temple. There is no need for the sun to give light by day or the moon by night. For the glory of God and the light of the Lamb, who is the light of the world, will provide perpetual light. Therefore, there will be no period of darkness in the presence of God and in the presence of Jesus the Christ. Therefore, there will be no night. There will be free movement in the New Jerusalem. The gates will never be shut, for no one will desire to leave, and those who are eligible can freely enter. Those who are eligible to be in the New Jerusalem are those who, by their good deeds and way of life, have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who will see God's face and have His name as a seal on their foreheads. Revelation 22, verse 4. John's vision gives a picture of the reward that will be for those who have been faithful to Christ and who have been able to discern God's voice, God's will, and to do it. The reward for faithfulness to God and following Christ will be eternity in God's everlasting presence. John's description of the New Jerusalem, the Jerusalem from above, may be subject to different interpretations, but the message is the same. As Jesus says, "I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." John chapter 14, verse 3. We have the assurance, as we are called to faithfulness, that there is a place prepared for us. At his consecration, Bishop Claude Berkeley gave us a vision of a new wine vineyard, a vision which pointed us to look at ourselves, re-examine our purpose as church, and come up with new ways of bringing, of being, new ways of acting, new ways of responding to the call to be disciples of Christ, to be church in today's world. Have we responded to the vision of the new wine vineyard, or have we continued with business as usual? This year, we celebrate 150 years of discipleship as a diocese. Our theme, celebrating the Jubilee, honoring the legacy, affirming the mission. Are we seeking guidance from God through the Holy Spirit to determine the direction God desires His church to take for the next 50 years to the next Jubilee? Let us, as we celebrate the Jubilee, ask the God of visions to give us through the Holy Spirit a vision of our church for the future, that we may come to discern God's will for God's church and to do it. Let us pray that we may show forth in our lives what we profess by our faith through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Give thanks to the Lord. Rejoice and praise his name. God of peace, when we are anxious, keep our vision on your eternal word. Fill your church with confidence in your praises. Inspire those with oversight to equip your church for its mission and ministry. Give thanks to the Lord. Rejoice and praise his name. God of peace, you lead us into truth. Give wisdom to all who lead and shape the course of nations. Open our hearts to your justice. Give thanks to the Lord. Rejoice and praise his name. God of peace, your blessing is never dispensed at the expense of others. Give us the same generosity and self-restraint that all may rejoice. May we build our communities on this capacity for kindness and responsibility. Give thanks to the Lord. Rejoice and praise his name. God of peace, you invite us to wholeness and well-being. Pour your healing love on us. Bring us to dance and rejoice in your favor. Give thanks to the Lord. Rejoice and praise his name. God of peace, risen and ascended, your Son declares your unrestrained love. Consecrate the lives of your faithful servants departed in peace. Accept us with them in your eternal city. Give thanks to the Lord. Rejoice and praise his name. Blessed are you, Lord God of our fathers, creator of day and night, giving rest to the weary, renewing the strength of those who are spent. Bestow upon us occasions of song in the evening. As you have protected us in the day that is past, so be with us in the coming night. Free us from evil, sin, and fear. For you are our light and salvation and the strength of our life. To you be glory for endless ages. Amen. Grant, Lord, that we may be faithful to you without turning aside, worship you without growing weary, serve you without failing, diligently seek you, happily find you, forever possess you, the one and only God, forever and ever. Amen. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We have the hymn CPWI 314, God of Mercy, God of Grace. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. May it be a lantern to our feet, a light to our paths, and a strength to our lives. Take us and use us to love and serve all persons in the power of the Holy Spirit and the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this night and always. Amen. And we wish you a very productive and spirit-filled week. Remember to continue to worship God daily, to wear your mask, make sure it's covering your nose and mouth, to watch your distance and wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Be safe. We leave you with the hymn, Alleluia, Alleluia, Give Thanks to the Risen Lord, Songs of Fellowship, number 6.